This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
We're talking about technology, specifically the so-called AI. I say that because you're in the studio here tonight, Chris, and you're a bit of a skeptic as to whether this stuff is actually AI.
Everybody else is calling it that, so.
But it is interesting technology, whatever you want to call it, and it has now caught the interest of the federal government thugs. Specifically, they're now proposing some new AI regulatory structure. Vice President Kamala Harris has been appointed as the so-called AI czar. What does all that mean? That's what we've been trying to get into. And then we ended up going off on a different tangent because Ricky called in about some ancient old technology that no one cares about anymore called a Windows phone. And that led to a conversation about old tech. But let's go to back to Reverend Ratspeed on the line in Nevada. Reverend, you're back on Free Talk Live. I feel like there was something you were trying to drive at, and I wanted to make sure you had a chance to express whatever that was.
It was mainly about the comments made by Elon, because I wanted to find out if you were aware of them. But extrapolating from that, I mean,
you even the comments that he was sorry about helping develop AI.
It's hard to gauge.
Okay.
Elon, even though he does often speak the truth, he definitely knows propaganda. Mm-hmm. He definitely knows how to twist things and spin things into a way that benefits him. Don't even ask me my opinions about his use of open sourcing his.
I mean, this is the same technology guy that invented Twitter, right?
You're right. Yeah. He was good friends with Al Gore. So he is generally on the side of not having regulations, but he said that this one was one thing that he does want regulations on because he considers it an actual safety hazard to the public. Now, depending on your point of view as to what AI actually is and what it should be, should it be like Data from Star Trek, where it gets its own consciousness and its own rights and under the Constitution, or do you want to keep it as a pet and keep it self-contained and controlled? That really seems to be the crux of the entire argument. It's like, can we trust a simulated or a synthetic computer mind that has no boundaries, knows no morals, and we seem to be teaching it bad habits like censorship through things like GPT, where, if you watch, HAL from 2001, made it into a neurotic computer that decided to destroy everyone on the ship because it needed to finish its mission. There's been plenty of science fiction stories and novels written about this very subject.
Well, don't you see that's exactly decade. Why the government needs to take control of it, because we don't want Skynet to come about.
I mean, this is all implementation stuff. It's like you don't have to put AI in your weapons. I mean, they already do, I think, to some degree.
You better believe the government will.
Well, yeah.
Oh, God.
They're already doing
it,
at least based on what we're talking about, I think.
I watched I believe it was a 2-hour-long presentation by a experienced Air Force fighter pilot giving a lecture to a series of people at some university, and he says that the new machines, you are essentially helping it drive itself rather than you driving it. So when you're flying a fighter pilot these days, you're more or less sort of guiding the computer system, which is actually flying a machine. It's just like a rocket.
I hope they don't get a blue screen of death while they're up there.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned about the person at the bank using terminal to, you know, a brand new computer and accessing terminal to actually get into the mainframe. Years ago, I used to work for an office furniture supply company that did servicing for big box retail, and I remember going to Office Max years ago, and the same thing was happening. So this is nothing new.
Yeah,
and,
I believe it.
You know, yeah. I really didn't have that more of a point to go on with.
Hey, thanks, Ratspeed. I appreciate it, man. Yeah. Thanks for calling in and weighing in on this one here. So the plan, according to Breitbart, is to launch 7 new so-called AI research institutes, which apparently there's already, you know, a dozen plus AI research institutes. But the government wants to have their own AI research institutes, and they want to have Google, Microsoft, and OpenAI, quote, participate in a public evaluation of AI systems, whatever that means. Does that mean that Google, Microsoft, and OpenAI will get to determine what other systems even are allowed to exist? Quote, President Biden has been clear that when it comes to AI, we must place people and communities at the center by supporting responsible innovation that serves the public good while protecting our society, security, and economy.
You know what this sounds like is inhibiting regulator, or they're trying to inhibit competition.
That's what it sounds like.
They've established a market, and now they don't want any other competitors to enter.
Right. We can control Microsoft. We can control OpenAI. We can control all these big corporations because they're corporations, and so therefore they do whatever we, the government, say. But we can't control those guys on 4chan.
Yeah.
We can't control those guys over at the, you know, open source foundation that's not based in the United States. So they're going to try to somehow stop that from happening. And that's, of course, the big question mark about exactly what their plan is to stop independent discovery and independent innovation
in
this particular area.
Increase, you know, have high costs of compliance, and you keep out the anybody who's not basically a big corporation.
But, like you said, what can they really do about people who are anonymous and developing internationally?
Yeah.
And that's, of course, you know, we know that they, if they know who you are, they will send men with guns after you. We've seen that in the crypto cases where they've arrested people like, what's his name, the guy behind Terra Luna, Do Kwon.
He
was picked up recently in Montenegro for trying to cross the border with a fake passport from, I think it was Costa Rica. And, of course, now the U.S. government wants him extradited to the United States to face charges.
He saw a threat. He did the smart thing, or he tried to do the smart thing, and he unfortunately, they caught it.
Yep. So they have quite a bit of a reach. But if they don't know who you are, then there's not much they can do. They don't know who Satoshi Nakamoto is. But if they did, you better believe they'd be trying to put the handcuffs on him or her or whoever Satoshi Nakamoto is. The Biden administration claiming that they're trying to protect society, security, and the economy by, quote-unquote, responsible innovation that serves the public good. And whenever somebody starts talking about the so-called public good, you should be asking, who decides what is the public good? Who decides? Because when the government people say it, what they mean is what's good for the government.
Because or good for their buddies.
Their industry buddies, yeah. Which is, again, one and the same, essentially. But you know, whenever they use the word public, it's a euphemism for government. Public makes it sound like it's more. Public, whenever they refer to the public, it sounds like they're talking about you. It sounds like they're talking about all of us, right? But they're really just talking about themselves.
Oh, don't you want to be safe, Ian?
Well, I mean, safety is a little overrated. I think, you know, safety, I get it. Like, I get the desire for it. But at the same time, you can't be too safe or you won't have any fun in life.
Yeah, very true.
You have to be able to take risks. You won't get away. You won't get anywhere in life if you're too safe.
Actually, if you're too safe, you can actually create dangers for yourself and others.
Yes, that's true as well. So Biden's press release also said this. Said importantly, this means that companies have a fundamental responsibility to make sure their products are safe before they're deployed or made public.
I mean, there's already laws on liability. I don't know why we would need yet another law here.
Well, you know, they just love passing more and more.
If the first law didn't work, what makes you think the second or third one are going to work?
Well, they are doing, without any laws, without any government involvement whatsoever, every one of these companies they're talking about has bent over backwards – to make their AI chatbots or whatever, quote unquote, safe.
Yeah, and let's talk about what they've done to make their chatbots safe. So, I guess you don't know the answer to this one.
Well, I mean, I've done it, but I'm wondering what you're going to say.
Well,
I've used a bunch of these things.
Well, that's why I was hoping you were going to answer this. Okay. But yeah, I mean, they're censoring curse words. Okay.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure you don't have to put your, 6-year old in front of a AI chatbot or whatever if you don't want them to see the curse words, right? I'm not sure we need to censor all adults to protect, a few kids that. Their parents could, I guess, protect them if you want to say that's protection.
Right. And also, you could have a safe mode, right? You could have, the kids mode. And then you can have the adults mode, the people that want to take the training wheels off, right, and want to have an unfiltered thing. So some of the other things they're restricting would be certain topics. So not just curse words, but also another classic example is, how do you make methamphetamine? Or, how do you hotwire a car? Or how do you build a bomb, right? Questions.
These are all
that.
Things you could find on the internet, anyway.
Yes.
It's not you need AI to tell you how to do these things.
Correct. So that's kind of what they're that's a sample of some of the things that they are restricting. But there's a long list. They won't be offensive. They won't say anything that could upset somebody. I mean, it's so kind of tiptoeing and cautious and really disappointing.
I usually think and choose to use this word around airport security, but it's security theater, right?
Mm-hmm,
I mean, this is just another version of security theater.
OpenAI's popular ChatGPT bot, which students now use to cheat in school, according to Breitbart, has... how is it cheating? You're just using a tool that is available to you now to jump through the stupid hoops.
The funny thing about this is, too, there's nothing that stops, if you want to evaluate a student's ability to write an essay from taking away the computer, handing out some paper and
doing it in class.
And having them do it, in class.
That's
and
a good point.
You would still determine whether or not they're able to write an essay.
So it sparked a massive debate around AI, which keeps getting more and more advanced with the ability to produce deepfakes, tricking people into thinking they're seeing or hearing real people. And that's also a topic we've been covering for years. Actually, before the whole AI thing really started taking off, deepfakes were becoming a thing, and they're now better than they've ever been, of course. The technology just keeps getting better. You can still kind of tell when you see these things, but for people that haven't seen them, it usually involves taking some politician or Hollywood person and then swapping their face onto somebody else or making them say something that they didn't say.
Are those usually lower resolution?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
But they're getting better.
I'm just curious because I saw a video the other day that I'm like, something doesn't look right about this, and it was a low resolution involving Ukraine and a guy. I think it was. I'm trying to think what the group was.
There's a lot of fake stuff coming out of Ukraine.
Yeah. But it was
a lot of old video too. A video from 2014.
Yeah. No, this was new. It was involving their contracted. Contractors, basically. So not the military, the Russian military, but contractors for the Russian military. And they said they're going to pull out or something like that.
And it was just propaganda.
It sounded like it very much could be propaganda. Yeah. And the video was at 1080p, supposedly, but it was not 1080p.
Upscaled.
Yeah. So it was and it was just the whole thing. It just seemed sounds like it might be propaganda.
Yeah. You're just going to have to become kind of numb to the idea that things that you're seeing online are real, because you will not know at some point. You'll have a very tough time discerning the difference.
Now, you're already going to have a tough time in many cases.
There's some of it that's obvious parody, right? So there's been a few pretty entertaining videos I've seen of the Federal Reserve Chairman, Jerome Powell, where they've actually done not just AI audio, or not AI audio, but the video. They've deepfaked the video where his lips are moving to the fake audio. And they've got his voice down. This is easy to do. You can download free programs, and there's cheap programs online that you can just type out what you want a celebrity to say, and it'll do the voice. So, the voice is easy to do. The video, it's a little harder, but it's clearly something they can do, because I've seen more than one of these videos where it's basically Jerome Powell, who's a 70-plus-year-old man, talking like he's an online gamer. So he's like using all the gamer speak and all the slang or whatever that somebody would say if they were talking crap on a first-person shooter or whatever.
Might be a good tell, but it's you know, not actually real.
That's what I'm saying. It's obvious parody. Okay, so there are those types of deepfakes where you know it's obviously not real. But there's going to be some deepfakes that are going to start getting passed around as though they are real, and a lot of people aren't going to know. They're not going to have any idea because they're going to sound serious. It's going to be they're going to be taking a serious position.
We say you know, passed around, and I think that kind of is kind of underwhelming as to the degree of the problem. I think we're seeing stuff that's in the mainstream media. You know, that is...
Oh, it's going to fool the mainstream media, yeah.
That's being played as if it's real.
We've seen the mainstream media run with Onion articles in the past.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen mainstream media take Onion stories and act as though they're real. So, like, that has... That's been, it's been years since that's happened. So, yeah, that's going
to
happen.
That predates, any kind of deepfake, probably, too, even.
Let's go to the phones here. We got Alu Axelman on the line here from LibertyBlock.com. What's up, Alu?
How's it going, guys?
Hey.
I have a comment on, I guess, last night's episode. I'm listening to the podcast, and I feel this issue comes up so often. It's been coming up a lot the last few days, especially with the porn conversation, which I have interesting views on.
What was the issue? Just recap briefly for listeners that weren't tuned in.
Oh, yeah. Well, you guys were talking about porn, or Aria, Nikki, and Bonnie, I think, last night, talking about how Utah essentially required all online web.
That was two nights ago, by the way. You're talking about Wednesday night. So, yeah, I wasn't there for it either. So, yes, thank you for the recap. As I understand it, Utah is putting a age verification procedure in as a mandate for any online pornography website that's accessible through you in Utah.
Yeah, so there's a distinction that I think you understand, and I think Bonnie and all of you guys understand, but it's not me. And a tremendous distinction between the world and the arena of what should be political and what should be the law and what police should enforce as, you know, a law and crimes versus what is culturally, socially a good idea, something that is advisable.
Mm-hmm.
Smoking, obviously, we all have, you and I have the same opinion on smoking. It is probably not healthy. It should probably not be banned by men with guns who will come with guns to kill you if you do it.
Right.
You know, same with all drugs.
For sure.
Same with all bad behaviors and eating cheeseburgers and not exercising and all the bad behaviors. I would put, you know, porn in that category. I know that Nikki and Ari and Bonnie said it's overall a net positive, which, again, I would just agree to disagree with that. But I think what I would just say for all of you guys...
I'm actually surprised, but before you go on, I actually was surprised to hear Bonnie say that. I don't think she actually has any kind of, like, pro-pornography beliefs. But at the same time, I would say that it's definitely something that should not be prohibited, and the prohibition of pornography is obviously going to do what prohibition always does, which is drive something underground and make it even more dangerous. Like,
and make it more profitable for those who are kind of doing it.
Sure.
Well, yeah. There's definitely evidence that it's beneficial to society based on, like, rape counts.
Is that right?
Yeah. There was I forget what country did this, but they legalized it.
Mm.
Rapes fell. They criminalized it again. Like, and we're talking about, like, over a short period of time, like every 2 years or something like that.
I mean, obviously correlation isn't causation, but that's very interesting.
It's not, but the fact that they did it, they criminalized it. Oh, I'm sorry, they legalized it because it was already criminal originally, and then they criminalized it again, and then they legalized it again, mm-hmm. and every time, very, very.
I think it's
clear.
Also true with, I think they've seen that with prostitution as well, right? Where if prostitution is legalized, then rapes go down.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
Alu?
Yeah, that makes sense. As far as what he said, what Penguin said, I could argue probably both sides of that. I see both sides of that.
The other side of it is addiction, right? The other side of it is porn addiction, which is definitely a problem for people. But then again, lots of addictions are problems.
That sounds like a human nature or an animal thing.
You're not
going to
be able to outlaw it.
I'm not sure if you outlaw porn or outlaw sex, it's going to magically have people doing it.
It'll just push it underground and make people unwilling to even talk at all about, you know, their addiction or seek help for it. Anyway, go ahead, Alu.
Yeah, so I think this distinction is so important for every conversation and every debate that you should even consider putting it up as one of your signs that's a good reminder in the FDL studio for all the hosts that are on it. Because when they talk about something and they say this is good or this is bad, they don't always clarify and confirm whether they're talking about legality or what's advisable. So when I say porn is bad, someone might say, oh, Lou, you crazy, you want to ban porn? No, I just said it's not good, and I'm not going to, you know, introduce my son to it. And I quit 3 years ago, which is like the hardest thing I did in my life, and it was, you know, tremendous, horrific, horrific detriments to my life and a lot of others. Some people can use it, you know, some people can use alcohol responsibly, some can't. I can, I know others who can't, and they have to quit all fully. So everyone has their own deal, but you can say something is not good, like smoking and cheeseburgers and all that stuff, without saying it should be banned. I don't think anything should be banned.
Right, know, and this, the reverse is true. You can also say that something should be legal and not be endorsing the thing. And there's so many people out there that just think that, and they look at libertarians when we say, legalize heroin or whatever, right? Legalize all drugs. And they think, well, that means you support heroin use. No, that is not what that means. It means I don't support putting a gun to my neighbor's head and throwing them in a prison cell over using heroin.
We're not crazy. You're
that,
just not listening.
The drama du jour of Maj and everything, and the drag queens, people are, when I'm already being yelled at by both sides. Everyone hates me. Besides you guys who are actually tolerant. Everyone else hates me because for the conservatives, I say, listen, if they're not like sexually assaulting kids severely, I'm not going to even consider using violence against them. I'm going to say they're freaks and weirdos and perverts and inappropriate and all that, but I'm not going to use violence. So the conservatives are upset at me. And then the leftists are upset at me because I say, hey, these stuff with sexualizing stuff with kids is really not appropriate, not cool. Pretty perverted, pretty effed up. I don't get it. I don't see the value in it. And then they get upset at me. So everyone hates me. But again, it's just about I'm not going to use violence against either side. I'm just going to express my opinions on what's advisable. I always go back, I harken back to the cheeseburgers and the alcohol and the smoking. Well, I will tell a friend and my son it's not good to do, but I'm not going to endorse a law to send men with guns and bear cats to smash into windows and drag people out with AR-15s and shatter glass on their feet if they violate that thing. It's a very big difference, and I think it's so important for all of you guys on the show to really make sure to clarify for every listener, that even the new listeners who are not that into the philosophy and everything, whether you're discussing the good idea stuff or what should be the law.
You know what I just don't understand is why people are upset. Like, if you're upset over, you know, that, you think they would also be upset over clowns, right? Like, both are putting on costumes and makeup, and they're not really doing anything that's
a lot of people are upset over clowns, by the way. There's a lot of people who find clowns to be freaky. They find clowns to be scary, etc.
Yeah, I get it, but it's like it's so ridiculous. Like even if you are scared by clowns, it's just so ridiculous to say like, oh, this should be banned.
Yeah, I agree. Alu, thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate it. That's Alu Axelman. He's from LibertyBlock.com. As we continue here, if you want to jump in, you want to weigh in, feel free. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You know, raise your family however you want to raise it. I just don't understand this quote-unquote culture war that is going on out there and why libertarians feel the need to take side on it. If you're a libertarian, you should be live and let live. You should understand there are going to be other people out there who choose to raise their kids in a different way. They take their kids to gay and lesbian pride fest and they have a good time there. You wouldn't. Fine. Don't go. But why spend even a little bit of your time getting upset about what somebody else is doing? I just don't understand it. It's Free Talk Live.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
U.S. USA News Update. The head of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is stepping down. The White House announced that Dr. Rochelle Walensky is leaving the agency next month. She's been in position since the start of the Biden administration and played a key role in its response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Thousands of illegal immigrants are expected to pour into Texas next week when a public health rule that's been used to expedite deportation goes away.
What are the governors of border states like Texas supposed to do? Border communities are being overwhelmed.
Senator John Cornyn hopes the national outrage will get the attention of President Biden. Two paramedics in Florida were fired after they mistakenly declared a man dead, then drove off. A deputy on the scene noticed the man's labored breathing, called paramedics from another city. He was taken to a hospital for treatment. Dave Collins, USA News.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, and this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. That has been the vision for Dash from the beginning, and the beginning for Dash was like almost 10 years ago. It's one of the oldest cryptocurrencies out there, and they were the very first to have what is now known as a decentralized autonomous organization. If you're new to the idea of the decentralized autonomous organization, you start getting into cryptocurrency, you're going to hear a lot about these things because they're pretty popular these days. It's a way to run an organization without the traditional structure of having a board of directors or CEO or an office. And it's a really cool idea, and it's actually worked out really well for the industry as a whole, but Dash did it first. In fact, their DAO is funded by the Dash miners, where 10% of the mining rewards go into a treasury, and then anyone that has one Dash, which is right now around $50, I think, can put forward a proposal to the Dash masternodes. The masternodes then vote on those proposals after they vet them and decide which one should move forward. So Dash made this thing happen, and it deserves a lot of credit for that. Of course, it's one of the oldest cryptos. It's still out there. It's widely available on exchanges. It's in multi-crypto wallets all over the place. It's easy to get Dash and easy to use Dash. You can start by learning more at Dash.org. And thank you to the Dash Decentralized Autonomous Organization for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org and learn about Dash. That is Dash.org. Let's go to the phones here and talk to Stephen in Northwest Georgia. Stephen, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Chris.
What is up, dude?
Hey, what's on your mind?
I just wanted to talk to you about the reason I just got out of jail.
Oh, no. What happened?
So, I am a breakfast chef at a local restaurant.
Yeah.
It's a really good restaurant. I like it. And my schedule is I get there like 4 a.m., right, because it's breakfast.
Yep, yep. You got to do some prep.
Yep. I'm out of there by, you know, 11 o'clock, 12-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And so I literally walk next door to a bakery. Because I'm a pastry chef, which means I'm also a baker.
Yep.
And I walk next door. I go in, and they've got me on a thing where, like, I make X products. I get X dollars, right?
So hold up. So just to clarify, you're working 8 hours at a restaurant kitchen and then going next door to work more hours at a bakery.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
I mean, So, like, my wife doesn't get off work till 3, so, I mean,
yeah.
Why not put in a few more hours?
Sure.
And it's commissioned, right? So if I want to run in and make a bunch of cannolis real quick, I can make a bunch of money real quick.
Got it.
The faster you work, the faster you make your money.
Nice. So you get paid per item.
Yeah.
That's great.
So, yeah, it's awesome, right? So I walk downstairs, I'm doing my thing, I'm getting stuff prepped, I've got the ovens on, right? And mind you, I'm in Tennessee, I'm a Georgia resident. Both states now have constitutional carry.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, I'm chilling downstairs, and I hear, oh God, oh God, oh God. And then I hear a bunch of Spanish speak, and I don't know what's going on. So, I'm like, all right. I walk out, I'm trying to figure something out, I'm trying to figure out what's going on, and this dude runs up and puts his hands in my face and goes, get your hands against the wall. I'm like, who are you? What are you doing down here? We need you to go upstairs, or you look like a customer. He assaults me.
Whoa.
So I assault him back. He works for the Chattanooga, Hamilton's the county, Chattanooga's the city, works for the city of Chattanooga, labor department.
What?
And they are raiding us for unlawful labor because somebody work on commission is illegal.
What?
Yeah. Well, commission of product, right? So commission of sales is one thing. Commission of product is an issue.
That is insane. You're saying making bakery items on commission,
yeah,
meaning per item fees rather than an hourly rate, is illegal in Georgia?
It's illegal in Tennessee.
You were in Tennessee at the time?
I mean, wouldn't that depend on what your ultimate money per hour broke down to?
Well, so the argument for them was, first of all, they were in there, quote-unquote, to get illegals.
Mm-hmm.
And then during their investigation, they found people with guns, which is scary.
But legal.
I don't care if it's legal. I have the right to protect myself.
But it's legal to just – you said there's constitutional carry.
Yeah. And
okay.
So we get a fist fight. An actual police officer walks up, points a taser at me. I'm like, no, get him out of here. Like, no, he works in the Department of Labor, man. I'm like,
wow.
Okay, get him out of here. You're not authorized to be up here. Authorized personnel only. I don't authorize you.
Mm-hmm.
So they put me in handcuffs, right?
Damn, what did you get charged with?
So I'm being charged currently with tax evasion.
What?
Misdemeanor tax evasion.
So this is a state-level charge?
This is a state-level charge. They're asking the feds to pick it up because tax evasion is a big deal. The problem is they have no idea how much money we've made.
They don't know anything. And to be honest with you, I mean, it's very little.
Just to clarify here, you're not an employee. You're a contractor, right? This company that is the kitchen, the bakery that you're working for, they're paying you on a contract wherein you can come in whenever you want to come in, and you can make however many bakery items you want to make, right?
Yeah.
This is straight up. I mean, I'm not an employer or anything like that. Chris, I know you have like one employee at Think Penguin.
You probably
know the difference between contractor
and
employee.
I've had a contractor. I actually have contractors and employees. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, doesn't it sound like he was just a contractor?
Yeah. The definition of contractor is it's not exactly well defined. But it's
you set your own hours.
Yeah, I mean, there's basically a list of things.
You can bring your own tools.
Yeah, frequently. It's generally...
But that's not required.
You're right, it's not necessarily required, but generally, contractors can be somebody who uses their own tools, and they set their own hours, that sort of thing. So if they're doing it, and they're not being supervised. If they're being supervised, you probably are not a contractor.
Wouldn't you be able to pay a contractor by the task rather than the hour?
Yeah.
Isn't that pretty typical for a contractor?
You've got this
job to do.
Is it?
You do the job.
I mean, it depends on the job, but yeah, I mean, it's often defined in terms of project, right? So that's another factor.
What tax are they accusing you of avoiding?
So they said they've been watching the place, and they know that... I show up every day around the same time and leave every day around the same time. And they know that I was there last year and I didn't claim this on their on my taxes.
Are we talking about Georgia state taxes?
No, Tennessee state taxes.
Tennessee income tax.
So the way it works down here, I know every state's different, but when I file taxes, When I have a job that takes taxes out, basically what happens, because I live so close to the border, I work in another state, right? And they take out federal tax, they take out Georgia tax, and then they take out Tennessee tax. So Tennessee's kind of weird, right? So Tennessee takes out like 9% of what's left after the U.S. and Georgia. Okay.
But wouldn't that be like double taxation if you're working in one state but you're being taxed in another?
But so it's income tax, right? So at the end of the year, I get every penny back. Right? So they're upset that I wasn't paying tax and they weren't getting to hold it. So they pick me up, they handcuff me, they take me outside, they put me in a car, they make me sit there for like 7 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm sitting in the car for 7 hours. I legitimately think that they've forgotten about me.
Wow. I mean, you gotta be able to go to the bathroom at some point. That's crazy.
Yeah. And so they take me down to the jail. I'm like, all right, I'll make bond, it's fine. Okay. So, back up about a year and a half ago, I was released from jail on probation, felony probation, first offenders. Okay. My probation officer really leveled with me a couple months ago, and he goes, look, here's the deal. We are overbooked, understaffed. If you pay your fine off, I'll have you off in a month. Because you can carry whatever guns you want. You can do whatever you want. If you pay your fine off, and, like, I really didn't want to do it, but it was super enticing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I paid the fee, and, like, he was good to his word. He was good to his word. I was off in, like, 8 days.
Okay.
So I show up to my hearing, my first appearance. My wife has just been told where I'm at.
This is 7 hours after you got arrested. They actually had a hearing for you?
No, the next morning.
Next morning. So they took you into the jail. Next morning you're in front of a judge.
Yeah, next morning I'm in front of a judge, and they go, his sentence is still active.
Oh, no.
And I go, no, it's not, call the officer. His name is Officer Gibson. He's at this office. Call mm-hmm. him. I'm off probation. They made an argument that because in 2021 I was sentenced to X amount of years, they can hold me until that date ends. Not
as a violation of probation. You're saying they're saying you violated probation.
Yeah. So 2 weeks later, I'm still in custody.
Mm-hmm. But otherwise, you're saying you would have, you believe if it weren't for the probation from a previous conviction, that you would have been cut out on bond on this recent arrest, but instead they held you in for 2 weeks.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know about any other state, but I know Georgia and Tennessee, if it's a misdemeanor, they have to provide a bond.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
But they held you. Then what happened? 2 weeks later.
So 2 weeks later, the probation officer shows up and goes, he is not in my custody. He is a free citizen, right? And I go, yep, I'm a free inhabitant.
Mm-hmm.
And so the judge goes, what's the thing? Contempt of court, 72 hours.
For saying inhabitant instead of citizen?
Because I was disrupting her courtroom with anarchist cut thoughts.
Whoa.
So I go, that's fine. I've already done 2 weeks. Bond, please. She goes, bond is set at $50,000.
For a tax evasion charge?
No. For tax evasion, for unlawful possession of a weapon, for concealed carrying a weapon, for all this stuff. So fast forward 2 weeks, probation officer's back there, right? Because the probation officer's as good as you can be as a probation officer, he's that.
Mm-hmm.
He shows up with his boss, and they go, he's allowed to have a firearm. He's allowed to vote. He's allowed to do anything you're allowed. The Tennessee state judge, or the Hamilton County judge, City Chattanooga judge, tells the probation officer, supervisor, that he's going to put him in contempt.
Wow.
He has no authority. He has no authority. Because he's a Georgia probation officer. So we immediately
had
72 hours.
Hold on, just another question of clarification here. The felony that you got convicted of was in Georgia, not Tennessee.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What this judge is saying is because you are out of Georgia and now in Tennessee, that she's not going to honor what the probation officer said to you about how you can carry a gun and you can vote and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So basically she's seeing this as felon in possession of a firearm. This person, you know, got to go to prison.
No, not felony possession of a firearm, unlawful possession of a firearm. So their argument was I was in a public place where children can be and I'm known to be violent. Therefore, I shouldn't be allowed a firearm.
Wow.
That in her interpretation of the law, the firearm line in my First Offenders Act, and so First Offenders is basically the first time you commit a felony, if you complete probation successfully, mm-hmm. you don't violate or anything like that, it all goes away.
Got it.
It doesn't really, because you still have to, like, call the FBI and get them to recognize it so that you can go to a gun store and buy a gun,
mm-hmm.
but it acts that way.
Okay. All right. Chris, you look confused. Is there something you have a question to clarify here?
It just, the whole thing sounds so insane.
It is insane. I mean, that's the government for you. So how long did you end up staying in jail?
So let's see, about 19 days. Well, I spent 19 days in Hamilton County.
And then you finally got bond from the same judge, or was it a different judge?
And so, no, so we escalated to Superior Court. I went to a bond hearing at Superior Court. He looks at it, and he goes, $50,000 seems really high. And he looks at me, and he goes, we're going to look at your record. If you lie to me, I'll revoke your bond. Mm-hmm. And I'll charge you the contempt of court. You'll do 30 days. I said, okay. Because if you're Iran, I said, no. He goes, when you know that you have a court hearing, you show up. I said, yeah. He goes, what's this failure to appear? I was like, and I explained to him the situation from several years back. I moved. I had a traffic ticket. They mailed it to the wrong address.
Okay. So he let
you out, right?
So he let, he let you out.
Oh, he goes, oh, I'll bond. And I go, sweet. Get back to the jail, and they go, hey, you have a hold on you from Porterdale, Georgia. I said, okay. So
that means a town in Georgia has said they want you transferred?
Yeah, the town that charged me with the felony, because I had felony unlawful, I had felony unlawful assembly, right? We were protesting, and I was quote unquote the organizer.
Wow. I don't want to get all the way into whatever that was. So you ended up getting transferred to this Georgia town at that point?
Yeah. So I was transported. So in order to be transported across state lines, from my understanding, they have to get governor approval.
Oh, my God.
Right? So why do you think they transported me across state lines?
Well, Porterville, Georgia wanted you, right? I don't know. What do you mean?
Double parking.
Oh, that's what the Georgia town wanted you for. Okay, so then you finally got bonded in Georgia. You got bailed out or whatever, and then you were out.
So they refused me bond. So we escalated to Superior Court.
You were refused bond on a parking ticket.
I was refused bond on a parking ticket because I had multiple outstanding warrants out of another state, which is untrue. I go to Superior Court that same day because people are raising Cain.
Mm-hmm.
I go to Superior Court, and they're like, hey, he's free. Okay, so I live, they transported me 6.5 hours south, right? What do you think the reasonable thing to do is?
I mean, whatever it was, they didn't do it. I don't know. At this point,
they let me out in the middle of nowhere, Georgia.
Oh.
And let me sit there. And so I had to wait 9 hours for my wife to come get me.
Oh, man. So now you're facing, are these felony counts in Tennessee or all misdemeanor?
So, my lawyer says that they're non-existent.
The counts are non-existent.
Misdemeanor tax evasion. And misdemeanor tax evasion doesn't exist.
Well, you sound like you got your hands full here, man. I wish you the best with taking this on. This sucks. I mean, just absolutely insane that all you were doing was making pastries at a pastry company, and they raided the business, put you in handcuffs for making pastries without paying taxes, allegedly, on that. Thank you, Stephen, for telling
the
story.
It's crazy. Absolutely crazy, and yet at the same time, it's so believable.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like... this is government.
Yep.
You know, this is government what they do for you. This is why you need to shrink government to basically nothing in order to protect the people.
I mean, New Hampshire isn't perfect. There's definitely problems with the state here, but at least there's no local income tax.
Yeah.
So there's no tax, you know, evasion investigations as far as income taxes are concerned on local businesses. That doesn't mean there aren't crappy things that the state does here. They certainly do. But my God, what an absolute nightmare. Sorry to hear the story, but I'm glad you told it. Let's talk to Rob in Vermont. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Rob.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
So we have another gentleman that was wrongfully convicted out of Lowell, Mass. The story came out, says a Lowell man who spent more than 30 years in prison for a deadly fire he did not commit, was awarded a $13 million wrongful conviction settlement from the city.
Whoa.
Apparently, what happened was this guy came up upon this fire, this house fire, where I think like 8 or 9 people died in the fire.
Ooh.
The Lowell police later detained him and used a language barrier to force him to confess to the crime. I don't know what that means.
Oh, no. That means they couldn't understand him very well, and so they made it seem like through being unable to communicate with this person because of a different language, they made it seem like, aha, he just admitted to it, even though they can't really understand
him. He came at me like he was going to hit me. Even though the guy is just standing right there.
Yeah, because, making crap up.
Yeah, it's literally just lying on the stand is probably what happened. Or something to that effect.
13, did you say, how many millions? How many millions of dollars?
He got $13 million.
So $1 million a year.
Well, he spent 30 years.
Oh, 30. I thought you said 13 years. Okay, wow. So a little less than $500,000 to sit in Massachusetts State Prison and have your life stolen from you. $500,000 a year.
Yep.
It's insane.
It is.
How did it come out that he was innocent? Do you know anything about those details?
Well, the story goes on. I didn't really get into a lot of the other story, but it says in 2014, a judge exonerated, finding there was no actual evidence of arson.
That happened in 2014, and he just got out in 2023?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Wow.
Jeez.
And not surprising. Again, this is how messed up the system is. Thank you, Rob, for sharing that. What else?
Yeah, it says Tuesday night. It says the city of Lowell agreed to pay him $13 million, but I don't think that's anywhere near what he deserves.
Nope. And the sad part is it's coming out of the taxpayers instead of the thug cops that actually did this to him. They're just sitting there retired, probably.
It should come out of their pensions.
Thank you, Rob, for the call tonight. I am sorry to hear that story, but at least he did get out rather than, spending.
It would be an interesting way to deal with those problems is having it coming out of the pension funds for the officers just in general.
Yeah.
If there's a $13 million, okay, well, where's that money come from? It shouldn't come from the state budget or city budget. It should come from the pension funds.
Chris, you've got a story tonight you wanted to share about another potential regulatory bill on the world of the internet, in this particular case, social media. And regardless of what you think about social media, I mean, some people think it's bad, it's addictive, bad for children, etc. Well, it should be something that is let alone, and you should be able to handle your own addictions. But the government is wanting to step in.
Yeah, I don't even know. Yeah, but this is from Tech Policy Press. It's titled U.S. Senators Debut Protecting Kids on Social Media Act. But it doesn't just affect kids.
I'm sure.
Not
it's going
at all.
To inconvenience everyone.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying that without knowing anything about it.
Yeah.
So just prediction.
Introduce the Protecting Kids on Social Media Act, which says its purpose is to require that social media platforms verify the age of their users.
Yep.
Not just kids, their users. Prohibit the use of algorithmic recommendation systems on individuals under age 18 and require parental or guardian consent for social media users under age 18 and prohibit users who are under the age of 13 from accessing social media platforms.
Let's talk about all that coming up here in hour number 3. If you want to weigh in, maybe you support this bill. The number is 603-283-6160.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.